The following guided meditation was given at Common Ground Meditation Center in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
It's useful to connect with this basic goodness of the heart as we're settling in. And in a way, we each have to find a way back to this trustworthy goodness of the heart. It can be as simple as recognizing the simple truth: I care about this life, I care about this sensitive heart, this vulnerable, tender heart, I care about it. And any dukkha, any tightness, any stress that's here now, I care about that. Any joy, any sense of wholeness or belonging, I care about that good feeling. In fact, no matter how it is now, the truth is I care about this. Care enough to be close, care enough to be vulnerable, care enough to let the heart be touched by the conditions that are here now, to be vulnerable, to feel what I feel, to be undefended. So the most important thing at the beginning of a sitting period, or any moment really, is to recognize this basic goodness of the heart, this basic wisdom of the mind that knows enough to connect, or knows enough to be willing to open, knows enough, remembers enough to be willing to be intimate with the conditions of the body and the mind. So in simple terms, we might call this relaxing into the experience of the body and mind. And simply noticing any obstacles, whatever might appear to be in the way of resting in the experience of the body and the mind. And so begins the investigation of the hindrances. They're simply whatever now are in the way of resting in the ease of the body and mind. And it might be some simple experience of restlessness or wanting the body to feel better first before I settle, or wanting to get rid of something, some kind of aversion. If you do notice any of the hindrances, doubt, too much, too little energy, restlessness and sleepiness, greediness or aversion, if you notice any of these hindrances, then study them in order to recognize how the mind tends to feed the hindrance, strengthen it, and how the mind can relate, can understand it, understand the experience in a way that weakens the force or the influence of the hindrance. So that the heart can more fully settle, become clear and stable, at ease, right in the middle of things. keeping it really simple, resting right here in the experience of the body sitting and the breath, of course, moving right here in the body. Resting in awareness of the sensations of the body and the sensations of the breath moving in the body. And then again, notice whatever is in the way of this ease, this resting. And recognize whatever is in the way in terms of the five hindrances. Wanting things to be other than they are, wanting to get rid of something. Too much, too little energy, or the spinning of doubt. And see if a clear, honest recognition of the hindrance tends to weaken it, causing it to no longer hinder the settling of the heart, the mind. And it's important to practice with a strong faith that this mind, this heart, is capable of settling, becoming calm and clear, becoming beautiful. And just simply be interested in whatever seems, appears to be in the way. And see that as part of the work of meditation to honestly acknowledge what's in the way and to be interested in it. It may not be pleasant, of course, but it's good work to practice opening with interest to whatever appears to be hindering the settling of the mind. So you may be doing a breath or body meditation, but more specifically, we're noticing one of two things. We're either noticing how the mind and heart is settling in the direction of calm, in the direction of peace, or we're simply noticing what's in the way and practicing being interested, letting it come into view, whatever seems to be in the way of the settling. That's all. being content to be present with the body and the breath, moving in the body and the other phenomena that come and go in experience, thoughts, sounds, emotions. And once through observing the hindrances, once the mind begins to stabilize, become settled, somewhat peaceful or calm, and let's take the time to notice the six sense gates. So even if the eyes are closed now, seeing is being known. The sense gate of seeing, visual experience, arises and is known naturally. Taking some time and simply connecting to the sensitivity of the eyes and the visual forms that are currently being known. So there can be this simple truth that seeing is being known. It's like this. Of course, no need to control, no need to direct the scene. And of course, the heart, the mind is sensitive to sounds. Notice that hearing is being known. And smelling and tasting to whatever degree. But there is this sensitivity to smells and sensitivity to tastes. So take some time and attune to these sensitivities of smell and taste. And these sensitivities just happen on their own. It's not really something we turn on or shut off. Seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, and of course, the tactile experience, touch. Appreciating the great sensitivity of the skin, places of contact and pressure and warmth and coolness. The great diversity of physical sensation now. And it's these five physical, direct, immediate physical contacts of seeing and hearing and smelling and tasting and touches that we call body. So we're just going to sit for a few more minutes with this contemplation that the body's like this. These five senses, physical senses, are like this now. So in a way, we say the heart or the mind is vulnerable, exposed, or sensitive to whatever arrives through the eyes, through the ears, through the nose and tongue, and through the experience of touch. And then the sixth sense gate is all the different ways that the mind interprets or reacts, responds to the different sense contacts. So there are these momentary sense impressions that arise because of experience, and then the mind will feel a certain way about that experience. It might perceive it a certain way, remember it, might think about it, have some intention to do something. So the sixth sense gate is all this mental activity that is constantly happening. But of course, it's really simple. The body and mind are being known now. Whatever this is, it's the body and the mind being known, or the five senses knowing the contact of the five senses, and knowing, connecting with the mental activity, body-mind, is being known. And of course, it's the mind that knows consciousness. And it's in this simple place of being mindful of the body and mind, recognizing that the body and mind are being known. It's always this simple, body, mind being known. It's in this place where we can develop the seven factors of awakening, really developing a beautiful heart, a beautiful mind, capable of insight. So mindfulness is willing to be interested, to be intimate with body-mind here and now. There's mindfulness allowing this interest, this intimacy, and the persistence of not forgetting that the body and mind, it's like this now. Really, these are the three factors, three out of the seven factors that we emphasize, and all the other factors simply follow naturally from being mindful, being awake, interested, intimate, and persisting. And then naturally, joy, lightness, tranquility, stillness, and equanimity begin to unfold. You could say the beautiful mind naturally arises when things are seen in a simple way, body and mind is being known here and now. And these first three factors of mindfulness, investigation, and persistence are active. Lots of faith in the skill of these three factors. And that leads to the mind, these factors developing, inevitably leading onward toward insight, the deepening of wisdom. So we'll continue for another 3 to 5 minutes in silence. So again, just to clarify what we've done. We began our meditation by, or with this act of faith, really, that the heart can settle. And then we notice what got in the way, or what appeared to be in the way of the settling. And therefore we did our five hindrance practice, where the mind was curious about what appeared to be in the way, what appeared to be hindering the settling of the body and the mind. And then to the degree that it noticed any of the hindrances, we would practice not feeding them, or we'd practice weakening them by paying attention in particular ways. Some ways of paying attention, some ways of showing up would feed the hindrances, cause the mind to proliferate more, get tight. And other ways of relating, other ways of paying attention would cause the hindrances to fall away. And then to the degree that we were able to suppress or cause the hindrances to fall away, to some degree at least, then we contemplate that this experience, is the body and mind being known. So this is what we mean by the five aggregates or the six sense gates. This is understood as the body and mind being known. It's always something being known. It's always that simple. It's not personal. It's just the activity of the mind knowing the next arising. And then in that place, in that more impersonal place, relating to experience in a more impersonal way, it's in that context that we then develop the seven factors. So the mind already has some equanimity. And we set these seven factors in motion by developing or bringing to mind the first three of a mindfulness, continuity of mindfulness, investigating. You could investigate the impermanent nature and investigating with persistence how things are changing. And allow the joy, the tranquility, the concentration, and the equanimity to unfold. And it's this mind with the seven factors firmly developed that understands from this very peaceful place and balanced place and place of great equanimity, then it's pretty easy to see the Four Noble Truths. So from that place of equanimity, when the mind gets disturbed, then the first noble truth, there is dukkha, is just a very clear reality. Oh, I was peaceful, but now things are tight. There is dukkha. And because it arose in contrast to a lot of equanimity, the mind can understand the cause, can understand the release and the way. The understanding of the Four Noble Truths, which we'll do in the next couple of weeks, is best understood from the place of great equanimity.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.